If you in them streets,
we coming for you.
And life got you beat,
we coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap,
we coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat,
we coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless,
we coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is,
we coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed,
we coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save,
we coming for you.
Listen, from the love of Christ, it's love and sacrifice.
Good evening, everybody. Hope Radio 98.7. Continuing our conversation up here with our brothers in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome back, Ro.
Yo, what up, dope?
And then, of course, our brother Mike Daniels from the Packers, who we're excited to have. The great thing about having Mike, this is off season and, you know, relax and stuff like that.
I want to talk about this interview that Mike just did a little while ago with his college, and he gave a motivational speech that made me want to go run through a brick wall.
Hey, man, that's supposed to be classified.
Yeah.
I can definitely give some motivational speaking.
That was good. That was good, though. Can't talk a whole lot about it, but y'all, when he was representing his alma mater, and he did a speech, and he had us all ready to just, what wall you want us to hit, Mike? That wall could have been steel, concrete. We going through it. It was awesome. It was really awesome. And so in continuation of our conversation, what I wanted to talk about is the platform, you know, because you have guys like me and Ro, or even other Christians that swear up and down, you know, hey, if I was Mike Davis, or if I was this person or that person,
right,
I would be doing this and I would be doing that. And I'm like, that's sort of like them cats that be like, man, all I had to do was get a shot and I could have beat Jordan, or I could have get that quarterback.
And I'm gonna stop you right there, because the one word you keep saying is I.
No,
it ain't never you at all.
Oh, there you go.
That's God, baby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
What you think you gonna do where the one who hung the stars in the sky told you ain't gonna do it? You think you gonna do it anyway? Come on, man. That's pride.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's all. That's pride. Because it's jealousy. You know, football is a competitive sport, man. And you going to see some guys, you always going to have somebody that has more success than you. I don't care who you are. There's always somebody that's having more success than you in this NFL. I don't care who you are. Okay? With that being said, there comes humility. And there's always going to be somebody that has more success than you that you're better than. But that's his blessing.
Wow.
You're going to step into pride and say, I'm better than him. How come he got drafted higher than me? Instead of saying, now you shorten your blessings. You shorten your blessings when you could be sitting there saying, thank you for helping that man. Thank you for helping. There's a player, right? And, you know, a lot of things just kind of seemed to, like, he had a really good year, and it just seemed like everything was falling into his lap. Just playing. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm fighting double, triple, everybody and their grandma to get to the quarterback. Quarterback just falling in this guy's lap. And I was kind of hating. I was trying not to. I was trying to say, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, don't let me step into pride. Let me stay humble as you are. You know what I'm saying? With all your children. But another quarterback just dropped in front of him. He laid on top of him. There he go. All the, you know, making plays after plays.
Just,
and I'm
quarterback
like,
quarterback just laid on just top laid of him.
You know, they going and double teaming everybody. But this guy. And I'm like, man, what? Making all these plays and everything. And then one day I was talking to one of our team counselors, and he has like files of guys from the combine and stuff when he talks to him, and he's very brilliant, you know. And this guy's, he had his book, he had his folder opened up, and I saw this guy's name or profile amongst some of the profiles on the page. And I saw that the man lost his dad when he was younger.
Hmm.
Now, don't covet your neighbor's wife, right?
Right.
You may want it, but she's probably crazy. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't want what the next man has.
Because
you don't know what they went through or what was in their life to set them up to have that.
Right.
That's his blessing.
Yeah.
I got my dad. You know what I'm saying? I got my father. Right. If somebody said, hey, Mike, we'll take your father right now so you can have a 15 sack season and rich career, I said, I'll stop playing football before y'all do that.
Mm, right.
Man.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's his blessing.
You know,
that's
Mike,
the blessing he has. You
the
know?
Hard part about it, though, Mike, is trying to get people to understand that. Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, and I've done it, and I've repented of it. I'm very content with where the Lord has me at right now. But I always fantasize about what I could do with that type of money, or what I could do if I was in that position, you know, and stuff like that. And I always say, well, I could do better than him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you brought up the point, you have no idea what that person has gone through or what that person is doing.
That was good.
Correct.
So how could you possibly make such an asinine statement?
Right.
When you say, well, I could do better. And that's where I was going with people that say, you know, stuff like, man, he missed a 20-yard field goal, a chip shot. Man, I could have made a 20-yard field goal. You know what I mean? Dudes have gotten out there that I challenged to get out there and make a 20-yard field goal on a high school field goal, which is wider, okay? No, you couldn't.
Well, tell, first of all, before any, tell him to put the helmet on and wear that for 30
right.
minutes.
Oh, right.
Your neck going to be minutes. Pretty sore. That's just a helmet, okay? So, but it's so funny because I've sat there and watched movies and said, man, this movie's terrible. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've sat there and had a dish of food and said, ooh, this whoever made this, man, this wasn't good food. But guess what? They're the cook, you're not.
Yeah.
The director, the producer, they're the ones on the screen, you're not. So if you want to do a better job, then you do it.
Then
you know what I'm saying? Instead of realizing they've been blessed with this ability that you don't have.
Right.
Because if you did, you'd be doing it.
Yep.
Okay. They've been blessed with this ability. So thank God for the blessings he's given them. Thank God for the talent that he's given them to make food. That person could have had a bad day. They made that dish.
Yep.
That director could have been going through something when he made
that dish.
That
is going right
wood.
Back to the kitchen, too.
Yeah. Wow.
So all I'm saying is you don't know what folks got going on, and you don't know why God. Who are you to ask God? How come him, not me?
Mm. And see, here's and there.
That's pride.
Right. That and is. Let's couple this with this preacher.
he's so man, is, I am not right. theologically right. sound. Okay.
A, oh man, as, you got it.
As you add the Christian part to it, because what you just described is not the world. Because the world gonna do what the world does, their Absolutely. Criticism, their this mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. That's unfortunately a pervasive attitude in the body of Christ.
Yes.
I could do better with what God gave you. So then my question is, what did God say? Okay, if you're faithful, I'll make you better. Clearly, you're not being faithful to what he did give you. That's why you have not gotten what this other person has gotten in the same argument that you're trying to put out there saying, I could do better with that. It's like, it's amazing how God has, how people say that, well, I have a better plan for your life than God does, you know. So you couldn't possibly be being led by God. I mean, as when I talk, or if you want to look at this in a sense where we are, how many times, Ro, have you like heard a preacher give a sermon and you're like, man, I could have preached that.
Oh
better.
Man, I can't even count how many times I've done that.
I'm sitting in the audience like, oh man, he could have hit that. He should.
Now look, I ain't gonna lie. Somebody goes and gets a dead bird carcass and puts a ranch on it and say, "Here go your salad." Okay, you know that might have not been a good dish. So I'm not saying don't. You know, sometimes people just don't do a very very sound job.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
And that's why they get fired.
Right. But who are you? But that's right. not your job to fire.
But with the sermon analogy though. When I think about that, I have done that plenty of times, but then at the same time in my heart, when the Lord slows me down for a minute, I think about what kind of pressures is that man going through as a pastor?
Mm.
He's got the weight of the fact that all of these people that are sitting in this congregation, he's responsible for before God one day. Yeah. So he's got that on his mind. He's got his regular life. He's got the duties of the church. He's going and doing funerals. He's doing weddings. He's counseling. And then you get this sliver of time to sit down and make this sermon. So my heart does step back at a certain point and say, wow, You know, just like Mike was saying before, it's the same kind of idea. What all is he going through that led to that type of presentation?
And that's what the Holy Spirit does with me. He snaps me back and reminds me, you are who you are because I say so.
Mm. Yes.
Not because you say so. Mm-hmm. He is who he is because I say so, not because you say so. And so, and of course, you know, I repent, you know, repent of that and like, okay, am I doing what I'm supposed to do, what God gave me?
Amen. Absolutely.
And so, and I think as Christians, we have to really do more of lifting each other up instead of the criticizing. Yes.
And you know, I about to say when the weather gets nice, go look at the weather, look at the rain, admire it, because that's God's work, okay? Admire what God does, and that should make you thank him even more.
Oh, yeah.
For the, what he does. Look at everything, this technology that we're using right now, man. God bless somebody with the knowledge and the gift and the skills to build this, okay?
Yep.
You know what I mean? We need to look at things, look at all this, and we look at nature like, man, look at the beauty. Look at, like, the diversity. Look how great God has made everybody, man. And you'll go see a movie that you might think is a bad movie. You'll say, man, that's beautiful, man. And people, somebody made it. This theater is beautiful, man. Boy, this whoever made this seat, boy, this seat sure is comfortable.
Well, that's, you know, that's real interesting. If you go to a movie theater and the movie's so bad, you admire the theater. Man,
that was a bad movie.
Yeah, that was a really bad movie.
But that's all the man staying positive. So instead of you tearing that movie down, you're looking at, man, this is a good theater, boy.
So I have a question. God built is
this
theater nice.
This message was brought to you by Pastor Daniels.
Yeah, come on, Pastor Daniels. But if you think about it, though, Mike, is that your attitude with your platform? It's like, whatever happens, you are going to be, you're going to look at how God is blessing, or how, or where God, what's the term I'm looking for? You're going to look at the silver lining that God put there. It's like, but you could, that's interesting, but you could look at it this way. What if God, instead of automatically giving you patience, he's giving you opportunities to be patient.
Yes.
You know, he's giving you opportunities to love. When I do marriage counseling, it's a perfect example. You know, when we a person talks about their wife, you know, or their husband's not doing this or whatever, I said, do you realize that your spouse is part of your sanctification process? Your spouse in your relationship, you realize if you need to be more patient, if you need to be more loving, or if you need to be more encouraging, because their response to who you are is their response to who you are is being reflected. So if you're getting in a lot of arguments about the kids and so on and so forth, so the sanctification process should say, okay, Lord, am I spending enough time with my kids because my spouse is upset about this with the situation with the kids and so on and so forth, and we're getting into argument. So when you reflect it back, I'm criticizing this brother for this or this sister for that, but what does that say about me? And as Christians, that's how we reflect. And so in your with your platform that you have, you know, that the Lord has blessed you to deal with. What is, if I ask you to give me, explain one characteristic of your platform or of your ministry, we're going to call it a ministry, what would it be?
Growing. you know, sometimes, man, because I done, man, so many folks have seen me show my tail in so many different arenas. I'm not talking just in football, whether I mean, you know, I'm 27, man. You know what I mean? I done been turnt. I done
young
been
out there.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be hard to sit there and tell folks, hey, man, you know, Jesus loves us. What you mean Jesus loves us, bro? You hungover. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
yeah,
it's like you're battling with that, but the more you grow with God, it's those things don't even become appealing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, we become a new creature in Christ. Right. So I say my platform and my ministry is, first of all, it's actually just being born, you know, if anything. And I mean, it's at, I mean, we probably in the first trimester of the pregnancy with it. You see what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
You know, that's how as beginner basic I am with it, but I know how much I love my brothers and sisters. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Humility.
I know how
to
much
even say
I love
that,
my
brother.
Father.
That's,
you know,
that's
and
humility.
With that, sometimes I get a little hesitant. Like, man, I don't want to preach to this brother because he just seen me cuss out this dude from the other team. And he ain't seen me repent, but he seen me at my lowest. How can I come to him? You know, and then that's actually when I come at him harder. Like, bro, you seen where I was at just now? And I went on my knees and I asked for forgiveness.
And guess who just grew? You. And maybe him. Because here's the thing. Look at that situation. You could have been like, okay, Lord, there's no way that, because he just saw me. But you were like, I still have a responsibility, even in my mix-ups and my mess-ups, to help somebody
get
up. And so it's really, wow, I just realized what I said. I hang around a lot of rappers. But the reality of it is that the best time to grow in a lot of cases is when you mess up. And growth shows the fact that you recognize that you messed up. Because remember, in King David's mess up, he needed somebody to come and remind him he messed up because he just blew it all off and stuff like that. But when you can actually look at, man, Lord, I know I upset you at this point. I'm sorry. Give me another chance. And that other chance is minister to that young man over there. He needs you, so on and so forth, even though he just saw you mess up.
That's what we talked about in the first segment, too. It's like we got to break this false perception that Christians are perfect. Yes. And I think that was a perfect, what you said, Mike, is a perfect example of saying, okay, you saw me in my flaws, and then you also saw Christ in me with me coming to you. That's humility. That's me showing the love of Christ. That's me believing what the gospel says, because we got to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We can easily fall into this legalistic idea of, God ain't listening to me. And if I ain't did everything perfect, then God can't use me to do this or do that. That's a lie. That's what the enemy loves.
And look
to
at
do.
That. Look at that pressure.
Yeah. Exactly.
That you put on yourself. Exactly. I mean, what if Coach McCarthy said, you need to get a sack every down? No, and honestly, every single down.
Even on the run plays.
Right, exactly. Even on the run plays, you need to get a sack. You need to take the ball out of his hand, put it in the quarterback hand, and sack him. I mean, that's the type of pressure that we put on ourselves a lot of times. But a lot of outside people put on us as well. And to deal with that, I mean, you think your public platform, with what we're dealing with today, and I promise I'm not going to go snap off a lot. What ministers deal with today and missionaries have to deal with today with this garbage naming and claiming mess where people are taking advantage. Exactly. When people are taking advantage and becoming billionaires.
Right.
I mean,
this is the third time he went off about this, y'all, 24 hours. So he's very passionate about it, as we all should be.
Because I looked at, if you Google the highest paid pastors in the country.
You don't got to say no names. Just you can say net worth, though.
They set up here, and you're talking literally a top five worth $300-400 million. And the list goes all the way out to like 25. If you take that money and combine it, you would end hunger in the entire United States of America. The frustrating thing about it is when you take a platform and you abuse it and misuse it for your own pleasure. The pressure that we have to deal with as Christians is that. People have come up to us so many times and said, all Christians are about money. He driving this, he doing this. And then when you find out in the news that they've been twisting and misusing, the pressure of having to deal with that. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to defend my God.
Right.
I'm going to defend my fellow brothers and sisters that make mistakes. And the first thing I tell them is, hey, I'm sorry that you saw that. But a lot of times that's Christians learning to be better Christians. Now, the crooks that out there, please don't call them Christians, because they just found a niche. It's just like in Hollywood. Hollywood ain't going Christian because they got a Christian genre. They've gone Christian because Christians got money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's why they're doing the films they're doing. And so, but when the church starts using the pressure and pressuring each other to be perfect, mm-hmm. to be absolutely perfect, it hurts us because nobody can live up to that standard
exactly.
in any way, shape, or form. And so when we have the opportunity, you know, when and you guys can chime in on this, when we have the opportunity in our individual platforms that God has, or different ministries that God has given us, I would challenge us to, I would absolutely challenge us to make sure that we defend the faith, mm-hmm. you know, in a way that is unpredictable. I was at Mike's church last Sunday, or one Sunday, and his pastor, Pastor Hennessy, he talked about, you know, mediocrity, you know, and he talked about things that God has not given us to be mediocre, you know, Christians and stuff like that. But what he said, which was really interesting, is that if you are a mediocre Christian, why would you expect God to give you anything? So you can waste it? And this was the compass of the sermon. I mean,
wow.
I'm not quoting him like directly, but this was the compass of the sermon. It's like, because God wants people that are going to bring glory to his son and build up the kingdom of God. And he says in the short, why am I going to give you 2 talents if you didn't even maximize the 1 that you got? And it's because you chose not to. Not because you couldn't.
Right.
Because what did the scripture say? You could have gave my money to the money changers.
Right.
And been that. Or then the people is like, well, Lord, why are you going to give this dude that just, he had 10 talents. Now you're going to give him this 1 that this guy didn't do. It's like, what does that say? The Lord wants to see his kingdom raised.
Correct.
So he's going to give it to his best people. It's like this guy had 10, made 10. If I give him 11, what he's going to do? He going to make 11. I give it to my top draft pick. It's like, Mike, we need a sack. Got you, coach. I got this. So, but they're double teaming you. There's a meeting at the quarterback. Don't worry about that. Meeting at the quarterback. So what Mike gets out there and does, say, okay, Lord, he needs a sack. Can I get 1? And so he's double teamed. He grabbed both of them and shoot them right into the quarterback. Hi, my name is Mike Daniels. Now, I'm just let y'all know that Mike, you know, yeah, I'm a Hawkeye now. But one of the things that Mike has willfully admitted that if I was actually trying out for the team, that I probably would have beat him out. And he wouldn't be in the NFL. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Like, oh my God. Mike looked over like, you know,
this is a small table. I can reach you.
No. But
can I interject about the talents thing?
Yeah, because please.
There's a lot of guys. Well, not I shouldn't say a lot, but I've heard a few times from guys that say, man, I thank God I ain't get drafted in the first round. I'm really? Glad I had to sit and learn some lessons before I got that money that fast.
Really?
And some of them come straight, boy, that was an act of God, baby. And I'm like, everything's an act of God. They say, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, but everything's an act of God. Don't let it just you getting drafted seventh round or free agent. But those guys say that. They say, where I was at in my life, I couldn't have handled it. And once again, it goes back to don't want what other people have because you don't know. Why? First of all, you don't know why that person might be that disciplined and you're not.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot. It's just so much, man. And it's a beautiful thing once again, because you see so many brothers that are humble and say, boy, I had to go and be a free agent or get drafted low. I had to ride the bench, because if I would have got it too fast, I'd have self-destructed.
Right. And you see that a lot, unfortunately. You know, guys and gals that can't handle money. Absolutely, you know, people that win the lottery that are broke inside of 2 years after winning literally $100 million and things like that. And so I appreciate it. I mean, we were all over the board, you know, in this conversation, but everybody that listens to Hope Radio know we always all over the board.
And what was your original question again?
Yeah, you're right. My original question was your platform and what do you see in the future as far as your platform is concerned?
I right now I have a football camp, and I have preachers come to the camp to, like, nice, more or less preach. So, yeah, just try to spread the gospel as much as I can to as many people as I can. To my teammates, tell them to preach. High school kids, tell them to preach. College kids, tell them to preach. So forth and so forth. Pay it forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Hope Radio, 98.7.
Hope Radio 98.7. Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. on your FM dial. You can also like us on Facebook at Hope Radio, or you can check out our live streams on Discipleship Radio.
Or check out the website, www.thecaptiveproject.com, or hit us with an email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com, or drop us a line at 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.